Blog Talk Radio.
Hard. I am the shepherd and I am the dog. I am the good news to the bound and the poor. The bush for Abraham. I am the ultimate sacrifice for sin. I am your Redeemer, the beginning and the end. I am. I am your
Praise the Lord, everybody. You were listening to I Am. Amen, amen, I am. How many know that God is? Hallelujah. I Am by Eddie James. Truly, the words say I am that I am. Hallelujah. When Moses asked God, whom shall I say sent me? He said, tell him I am. That's all you need to say, I am. That's enough. God is everything we want him and need him to be. Amen. We just have to grab a hold and know that. And when the storms get to raging, hallelujah, just know that I am. He's right there. Amen. I love that song. Amen. We like to greet each and every one of you all in the matchless, awesome, wonderful, blessed name of Jesus. Once again, we thank you for tuning in to A Time of Reflection with New Destiny Ministries. I am your host, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, along with our co-host, Sister Ruby Larry. Amen. We're excited about what God is doing. Amen. We have certainly been having an awesome time of fellowship this week. Amen. Yesterday, we had the privilege of hearing Dr. Winston Singleton out of Los Angeles, California, and I tell you, he had our hearts burning, amen, yearning for more, amen, and anytime you're hearing a word from the Lord, a rhema word, amen, you just want to get more and more and more, hallelujah, more into God's presence. So again, this is Thursday, September the 5th, and again, we are excited, and I'm just so thankful and privileged that the Lord has blessed us with men and women of God that love him above all else and love God's people. Amen. You know, over in Galatians, there's a scripture says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. But it says that latter clause say, especially, hallelujah, to the household of faith. Amen. So we thank the women and men of God that come on this line to minister the word. We're not here to debate and argue and cause any conflict or leave anyone puzzled. We're here to open up your understanding, amen, and to enlighten you on what God is looking for each and every one of us to exhibit in our lives, amen. They say a faith without works is dead. That's what James said. So many of us have faith, but we don't have any works. So if we take our faith and we begin to work in the kingdom of God, then guess what? We'll be a mighty army, amen, a powerful army, amen. So we're excited to have, hallelujah, and I love this man of God. We haven't had an opportunity to meet personally, face-to-face, but we have kindred spirits, amen. And he's just a warm, sweet, and loving man of God that is serious about salvation, serious about what God has destined for him to do in the kingdom of God. I tell you, on Facebook, I met him over on Facebook and would always see all of his beautiful, encouraging posts. Amen. And that drew me to him because I never seen anything negative or nasty or ugly, but always something to encourage and to enlighten those that are on their posting and just communicating with one another. Amen. He is the husband of one wife. He's been married for over 43 years and have been preaching the gospel just as long. Amen. And his church is Tabernacle of Faith. I was saying Tabernacle of Praise. So it was right in order when I begin to talk about faith today. Tabernacle of Faith, Full Gospel Baptist Church in Evanston, Illinois. And that's none other than Bishop Jesse Grant. And I tell you, if you've never had an opportunity to hear him, if you call in or tune in on the internet live, you'll have the opportunity to hear this awesome man of God minister to, for us on today. Amen. I'm a kind of little rushing today, but that's okay. We're going to get through it. Amen. So we are just, again, ecstatically happy to have in our presence again the man of God, and we're not going to go any further with any announcements. We do want you to know tomorrow is Provoke Fridays. Continue to keep Pastor Hamilton in your prayers. Amen. He lost a cousin this week on that was killed in a motorcycle accident. So we're looking to see if he'll be with us tomorrow is Provoke Fridays. He's our pastor and life coach out of Houston, Texas, with Provoke to Purpose Ministries. Amen. So, Lord God, we go in before you today. Amen. We thank you once again for the wonderful opportunity and the privilege that you have afforded us to teach and preach this gospel. Lord God, we don't take it for granted. Amen. We're just thankful, Lord God, for another opportunity to give you glory, to give you praise, another opportunity to magnify your name. And, Lord God, we asking you to bless the speaker on today, Bishop Jesse Grant, God. Oh, God, we asking you to continually bless his wife, bless his children, bless his grandchildren, bless his ministry and all the sheep that he is the shepherd over, God. We asking you to continue to grace him to speak this word effectively, Lord God. Oh, God, we thank you for all of our listeners that are calling in, those that are in the chat room, those that are listening live on the internet, Lord God. I pray today that their hearts will be stirred. Amen. Well, they would be able to stir up the gifts that is within them. Hallelujah. For you said you give according to our several abilities. And you also said that gifts and callings are without repentance. Lord God, and as we go forth desiring these spiritual gifts, Lord, give us a mind to earnestly covet the best gift. Hallelujah. Give us a mind, God, to tell somebody about your goodness. Give us a mind, Lord God, to tell somebody that you saved to the utmost. Amen, Lord God. We're asking you to bless our leaders all over the country, God. Continue to bless our families, God, as our children go back to school, Lord God. We're asking you to shield and even protect them, Lord God. And all those, Lord God, that are wandering and may not know you, Lord God, give them an opportunity, God, where somebody will enlighten them and somebody will encourage them and let them know that there is yet hope. There is yet hope. Amen. Bless this radio broadcast, God. Let the airwaves be clear where we can hear clearly what thus say the Lord in the likes of Bishop Jesse E. Grant. Lord God, we'll be forever careful. Hallelujah. To give you all the glory and all the honor that you and you alone are deserving of. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen, amen. God bless you, Bishop Grant.
God bless you, Evangelist Bernard. Once again, it's a joy to share with you and your listening audience and to your lovely co-host, Evangelist Ruby Larry. It's a pleasure for me to be with you again today.
Amen, amen. We look forward to you, Bishop. We have drawn just so close to you, and the people are excited. You got a following right here on this broadcast, and when they hear Bishop Grant is coming, they tune in. So we thank God for you, Bishop.
Well, I thank God that he has allowed me the ability to be able to come and to share with you, and through his magnificent grace to be able to once again engage you and your wonderful listening audience. It's my understanding that your topic for this week has been and yet remains to be desiring spiritual gifts. There's a lot to be said about that, and so I'm not going to labor a lot of preliminary times, and we're going to jump right in on it. But before we begin anything, let us pray. Father, we thank you now for this time and this privilege that we can face your people, God, even by the ether waves. It is our earnest prayer, God, that you would give these thy people an ear to hear, for your word declares that he that have an ear to hear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. We thank you for this wonderful host, O God, who has offered her time to allow me to come on, God, to share thy word with these thy people. We pray now, God, that thou would hide us behind the cross, that your people can be edified, and that you be glorified, and Satan can be horrified. But this we do ask in the precious name of Jesus, God, asking you that, God, you would give us clarity of speech, and God, give us the equivalent ability, God, to enunciate that which you would have us to utter to these ears of these thy people. For this we do ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, as we begin our dissertation this afternoon with regards to desiring spiritual gifts, the first word that comes to mind is the word in the subject matter, which is desiring. In the Greek, the word desire is epithymia. It comes from two other root words in the Greek language, one being epi and the other is themios. So epithymia basically means to focus on. It means to have a passionate desire. Properly passion built on strong feelings or urges that can be positive and or negative. Sometimes we can desire negative things, we can desire positive things, but in this context, as it relates to the subject matter, desiring spiritual gifts, we are dealing with it from a positive standpoint or a kingdom standpoint, a godly standpoint. So it's depending on whether the desire is inspired by faith in God's birth persuasions. So as we look deeper into it, spiritual gifts are a source of much controversy and confusion among believers. It's interesting to know that some, and even it's a very sad commentary to really understand that these gifts are meant to be graces from God for the edification of the church. Subsequently, there are a lot of denominations that don't really believe in all of the giftings, but we're not here to argue, debate, or to bring about a controversy. We're just going to simply deal with what the Word of God says. It is the authentic Word of God, and in the Word of God, we discover absolute truth. There are many truths that exist in our society today, even within Christendom, but the reality of absolute truth is that God is the possessor and the giver of absolute truth. So spiritual gifts are the source of much controversy and confusion among believers. As I forestated, it's a sad commentary. Even today, as in the early church, the misuse and misunderstanding of spiritual gifts brings division, splitting up, rather than building up in the church. The resource seeks to avoid the controversies and simply explore what the Bible says about spiritual gifts. So when we look at, case in point, when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we learn that spiritual gifts are given to God's people by the Holy Spirit, the pneuma, the power of God, for the common good. Verse 11 says, the gifts are given according to God's sovereign will. The word sovereignty basically means it is God's will. It is his sovereign's will. It is his expressed will. It is his determined will. It is not in similitude to the other wills that God exercises as he deals with and interacts with his people. You have what's called the permissive will. That means that if you want to do it, God will stand back and allow you to do it, whether it's right or whether it's even wrong, because we're free moral will agents, and therefore we have the opportunity to make our own decisions. But the wise individual who is really looking to God and to seeking the will and the mind of God will always try and do the will of God rather than to subscribe to their own personal wants, needs, and desires, equating those to just doing what they choose to do. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 tells us these gifts are given to prepare God's people for service and for building up the body of Christ. I need to say that again. The express purpose for these giftings or these gifts that have been bestowed or in birth within the life of the believer is to build up the body of Christ. It is not for self-edification and glorification. It is not for us to parade ourselves as some highly gifted individual. It's a blessing to be gifted by God. Anytime that God uses his people, it's for his glory. It is not for ours. Therefore, in order to effectively operate in any of the gifts, and we're going to get into those in just a moment, but in order to effectively operate in those gifts, the first order of business is you must humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Secondly, you must be consciously aware that it is for God's glory. It is not for our own personal vainglory and or for our own conceit. It is so that God gets the glory. The third thing, of course, is that the body of Christ is now built up in its most holy faith. The term spiritual gifts comes from the Greek words charismia. And the word charismia and the word pneumatoka, they are the plural forms of charisma, meaning expression of grace. The pneumatoka, meaning expression of spirit. While there are different kinds of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:4, generally speaking, spiritual gifts are God-given graces, special abilities, offices, or manifestations meant for works of service to build and up the body of Christ as a whole. It is not for a selective group of people, but it is for those who are, in fact, in the body of Christ. Let's break them down, if you will. You have what is called ministry gifts. Now, the ministry gifts serve to reveal the plan of God. They are characteristics of a full-time office or calling rather than a gift that can function in and through any believer. The ministry gifts were once presented to me when I was back in seminary, and the way that one of the professors described it, he told the class, he says, hold up your hand. So I'm going to tell the class, hold up your hand and look at your five fingers. The reality, the truth of the matter is you really only have four fingers, you have a thumb. So, but it's called the hand. So let's understand it from an ecclesiastical standpoint or from a kingdom protocol standpoint of what these four fingers and this thumb represent as far as being gifted. The first we have is the apostle. Now, an apostle establishes and builds churches. His or her primary responsibility is to plant churches. An apostle may function in many of all the other ministerial gifts. He is the thumb. Okay, twiggle your thumb. He is the thumb. That's the strongest of all the fingers, able to touch every finger. Now, if you will, so that you can clearly understand where I'm trying to go with this. You can take your thumb, and it can touch each one of the other remaining four fingers. Now, your other fingers don't have that ability, so it's called spiritual protocol. The prophet in the Greek means to foretell in the sense of speaking for another, primarily speaking on the behalf or in the place of God, as God gives the word within the prophet's mouth, then the prophet then has to become responsible for uttering that word to the assigned people or to the assigned person or assigned persons that word is to be delivered unto. So he becomes what we call God's mouthpiece, God's spokesperson. He's speaking for God's word. The prophet is the index finger, meaning that it is a pointer finger. He points the future and points out sin. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble, as I always do, but here is the thing. We have prophets today who prophesy, but they only prophesy to the future end to the extent that they prophesy you're going to get your house, you're going to get your car, you're going to get a husband, you're going to be the next millionaire, et cetera, et cetera. But a true prophet of God also has to point out the sins of the individual or the individuals or even upon the nation of people. That's what a true prophet, a prophet that has been ordained and sent by God to utter God's voice, not the voice that the prophet wants to order, but the voice of God. And many times the prophet, as in the days of old, the prophets many times were even run out of the city, run out of their regions because of the truth that they came bearing. Because any time that you begin to point out the sins of people, they're going to be rebellious. Everybody's not going to accept it. Everybody's not going to tolerate it. And everybody is not going to embrace the one who brings them that word. But that's the responsibility, as it were, of a true prophet. Now, the evangelist, an evangelist is called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. He or she works for the local church to bring people into the body of Christ where they can be discipled, taught, trained, developed. That individual may evangelize through music, drama, preaching, or other creative ways. They are the middle finger. Now, the middle finger is the tallest finger. Look at your hand, and you'll discover that your middle finger is the tallest finger upon the hand. So they are the middle finger, the tallest one who stands out in the crowd. Evangelists draw a lot of attention, but they are called to serve the local body, which means that they can be a better service oftentimes to their local assembly, and even sometimes in a broader sense to the international and the national sect of God's people. But primarily, it's their responsibility should be, and first and foremost, to their local assembly. Now, next we have the pastor, the shepherd of the people. A true shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The pastor is the ring finger. He is married to the church, called to stay, to oversee, to nurture, and to guide. So all of these different giftings or classifications or entitlements that part of the giftings of God's grace shares with the body of Christ has distinctive person or characteristics. And we need to clearly understand that. So just bear with me as I go through this, because it's necessary before we really get into really desiring spiritual gifts. You've got to understand what the obligations are, what you're duly bound by the Word of God, what God desires and declares and even commands that we do in operating in these various offices. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, having served in ministry since the age of 17 and pastoring for well over 45 plus years, that pastoring is not as glamorous as it appears to be. I shall never forget a very familiar passage of Scripture where the Lord tells Jeremiah, "I will give you pastors after my own heart." When you have the heart of God toward God's people, there's a price to pay for that kind of heart. There is supreme sacrifices that's made on the part of that pastor. There are sacrifices that go way beyond the time frame in which I'm able to deliver to you now. But it's a super sacrifice, sacrificing of your time, sacrificing sometimes even your family, sacrificing your own rest, your own peace of mind sometimes, in order to minister and to nurture and to love the people of God, to be able to facilitate them and to guide them in a way that God would have them to be led. Now, next we have the teacher. The teacher is, and the pastor often share the same office, but not always. But primarily, they become twins. The pastor delivers the message, and he teaches the word of God. The teacher lays the foundation and is concerned with detail and accuracy. They delight in research to validate truth. The teacher is the pinky finger. Through seemingly small and insignificant, when you look at your little pinky finger, it's the smallest one. Sometimes you feel like, what's its real purpose? Everything that God has a purpose. So the pinky finger, as it's denoted, is, though seemingly small and insignificant, they are designed specifically for digging into tight, dark places, shining light, and picking apart the word of truth. So the teacher really is a person who gives a great deal of time, energy, and effort into researching the word of God so that they can receive clarity, so that the doctoral positions that the Bible presents can be brought out. But primarily, their real mission in their search for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's word is to also have revelation of God's word, not just simply preaching it out of a textbook. I'm not totally opposed to textbooks, but the reason I say that is because many times textbooks are written based upon a theological perspective rather than a revelational perspective. So theological means that there's a study of theories. Revelation is when God reveals to the life of the believer, to the teacher, so that that revelation, that word, can be better edified for the building up of the body of Christ. So that's the responsibility of a teacher. Now we move into another group of manifestation of gifts. It's called utterance. These gifts say something. For example, it is here in these giftings that we come up with the terminology prophecy. This is the foretelling of the inspired word of God primarily to the church for the purpose of confirming the written word and building up the entire body. The message is usually one of edification, it's of exhortation and or consolation. Although it can declare God's will in a particular circumstance and in rare cases predict future events. So prophecy works to the extent that, again, it's for the building up of the body of Christ in its entirety. Many times it's for edification. It's to build up people in their most holy faith, to be an encouraging factor for people to embrace the word of God, to believe the word of God, and to practice the word of God, and to live the word of God based upon its continuity, based upon its principles. Every principle has different applications, but the responsibility of the believer or the responsibility of the prophet is to bring forth clarity to the body of Christ. It's to edify, to build them up. It's to give exhortation. Sometimes a harsh word has to be given. Sometimes a direct word has to be given. Many times when you look at the methodology in which God utilized the prophets of old, many times they came with distinct messages, and they sometimes came with general messages. So the message could have been for a specific time, a specific place, a specific circumstance that the people of God were facing at that time. But then again, sometimes God brings it in real close, zooms in real up close and personal and say, hey, this is you. This is what you need to do in order for this to happen in your lives. So the prophecy does just that. It also brings consolation. Many times when believers are going through various circumstances, vicissitudes of life, and sometimes it can weigh heavy upon their shoulders, it can weigh heavy upon their brow, it can be a very cumbersome task many times to deal with the numerous trials and tribulations. But prophecy comes to let you know, for example, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That brings consolation. The sufferings of this age are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. That's consolation. So forth and so on. Although it can declare God's will in a particular circumstance and in rare cases. Now, that simply means, as I first stated, that oftentimes God will use his word, and it can be spoken through a prophet and given in prophecy, saying, for example, if you will do what God has commanded you to do, if you will observe to do all that God has commanded you to do, then your way is going to be made easy. Oftentimes, the believer, if I can say this, sometimes the believer becomes lackadaisical. The believer becomes lazy. The believer becomes sometimes overzealous because they want the blessing to come immediately, expeditiously. God, I've prayed about it. God, I need you to do it, and I need you to do it now. Sometimes there is no exercising of patience. There is no exercises of due diligence to wait upon the Lord, to allow God to do what he deems best for our lives. But sometimes because we are impatient, we want it right quick, fast, and in a hurry. It kind of reminds me of the times when I was growing up, how mother would get in the kitchen at the earliest time of the morning and prepare dinner because she knew what she had to place. So we waited patiently until the dinner hour when the dinner had been completed. But now we're into the age of fast food and in the age of the microwave, so everything becomes instantaneous. And unfortunately, we have evoked that spirit. We've allowed that spirit of quickness to invade our spiritual being, our spiritual selves, and so now we want everything to happen quick, fast, and in a hurry. So sometimes God has to send a prophetic prophecy to us to let us know it's going to come to pass, but there are things that you're going to have to correct, modify, and change about the way you view it, the way you see it, the way you're going to perceive it, the way you're going to accept it, and what you're going to have to do in order to receive it. It doesn't always come just as expeditiously as we desire. So let us move on now. The speaking in tongues, that's another manifestation of the utterances of gifts. This is a gift that's primary. This is a supernatural utterance, and in an unlearned language is interpreted so that the entire body will be edified. Tongues may also be a sign of to unbelievers. Case in point, it was on the day of Pentecost when they were all in the upper room on one accord, and suddenly the promise that God had made them that it was expedient that he goes away. If he did not go away, then the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, would not come. And so they went into the upper room as commanded. They were obedient. Hear those words. They were obedient. They went to where they were told to go. The second thing they did, they waited. They waited. They were patient. They believed that God was going to do what he said. They went into the place essential and necessary for them to receive the promise that God had made them. Again, it kind of goes back. We want it, but we just don't always want to do what God tells us to do. You want the husband, you want the wife, you want the car, you want all of these things that are really temporal. There's no eternal purpose into most of what we want. They're temporal. They're the things that are going to be given to us, or we seek after them on this side of heaven, but we can't take them to heaven with us. One person said one time, you've never seen a hearse, a Brinks truck rolling behind a hearse wheel, because you can't take all of your earthly treasures along with you. So, but back to the point at hand. So now they are there. They're waiting for the promise to be fulfilled. And suddenly, at God's timing, they were in a position, they were in a posture, they were waiting. And so when God realized that he wanted to move, he moved now suddenly. He came in like that of a mighty rushing wind. Now, the Spirit set upon all of them with cloven tongues of fire. All of them began to speak in an unknown language. Now, the noise was heard abroad, meaning that the sound of it was so exuberating that it invoked the attention of those that were around. And so when they come and they hear it, then they declare from these disciples that these men speak in our own language. How is it that they're unlearned? They don't know our dialect. They have not been taught our language. So that's why it becomes supernatural. The term supernatural basically means, we're going to get into that in more depth a little later on, but supernatural means that God has the ability to change whatever he wants to change, again, for his glory, for his divine purposes. Now you have the gift of power. That's another sect or another sections of gifts. These gifts do something. Number one is faith. This is not the faith that is measured to every believer, nor is it saving faith. This is a special faith. It's called supernatural faith, given by the Spirit to receive miracles or to believe God for miracles. The next one is healing. This is a supernatural healing beyond natural means, given by the Spirit. Next, we have miracles. This is the supernatural suspension of the natural laws or an intervention by the Holy Spirit into the laws of nature. Case in point, I'm sure all of us, if you've been in church any length of time, you've read, you've heard, or the sermon has been preached about Peter walking on the water. The classic sermons basically derived out of that text is, get out the boat. Well, Peter and the other disciples were in the boat, and a storm began to be vehemently against the boat. But then they see off in a distance, they see a figure, they see a man. Some of the disciples, being under superstition, they thought it was a ghost. But Peter looks at the figure and says, Lord, if it be thou, then bid me to come. And so Peter hears the voice of God. He has identified the voice of God. And the way that one begins to identify the voice of God is you have to be in relationship with him. You have to become familiar with his voice. He himself, God meaning himself, says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not hear. So when you become familiar with the voice of God, it's just like a child can be on the playground at recess time, but when that parent calls that child's name, her son, her daughter's name, all the other students can hear it, but they don't respond to it because that's not their mother. So the child of God has to have clarity, and the clarity of hearing God's voice comes by the relationship and the experience you have with him. So when Peter hears the voice, he says, Lord, if it be thou, then bid me to come. In other words, welcome me, summon me to come. Then now as he begins to get out of the boat, the other disciples who are under suspicion, under fear, under apprehension, they're not sure whether that's really him or not because they're now covered by fear. They're covered by superstition. But Peter does not allow any of that to affect him. Even those that were criticizing him for trying to get out of the boat, Peter was determined to do it. So now Peter gets out of the boat and literally begins to walk on water. So now the supernatural element of this, a natural law says that if you cannot literally walk on water, the moment you go on the water, you're going to begin to sink. But here God suspends momentarily. He suspends the law of gravity, the suction to pull him down, allows him to do something supernatural that he had no capacity to do as a human being. But God intervenes. He does a supernatural thing. He changes the law, does not allow Peter to sink, because Peter is walking towards him. Now, the mistake that Peter made was he began to listen to the blusterous winds, and he lost his focus. He lost his perspective, and therefore he began to sink. So now we have the revelation. These are gifts that reveal something. The word of wisdom, case in point. This is a supernatural knowledge applied in a godly or correct way. One commentarian describes it as a insight into doctoral truths. There are many doctrines that exist today. But again, as I first stated earlier, the Word of God is the absolute truth. There may be truths in Catholicism. There may be truth in Pentecostalism, in the Baptist denomination. There can be many doctoral truths, but the absolute truth has to stem, has to be maintained, has to be carried out according to God's authentic Word. So, the word of wisdom is a supernatural knowledge applied in a godly or correct way. It gives insight into doctoral truth. Now you have the word of knowledge. This is also another supernatural knowledge of facts and information that can only be revealed by God for the purpose of applying doctoral truth. Once you understand the word of God, once you have the word of wisdom, you have the insight and doctrinal truth, now the word of knowledge brings to pass the ability for one to have revelational knowledge, where the word you did not fully understand, did not comprehend, had to go through commentaries, dictionaries to find out what it was. But when you sought the mind of God, or when you do seek the mind of God, for God to bring clarity, to reveal to you what that word is actually saying, now the reason for that, again, is for the purpose of applying doctrinal truth. What is having all of this truth, having all of this information, if you're not going to use it to best benefit the body of Christ as well as one's own self? Then you have what's called the discerning of spirits. This is the supernatural ability to distinguish between spirits such as good and evil, truth or deceiving or deception, prophetic versus satanic. Now let me hang around here, put it in park here for a second, and deal with this. To me, this is perhaps one of the most essential gifts, that if you're going to desire some gifts, this really ought to be one of yours at the top of your list, is the ability to discern spirits. The Word of God tells us, try the Spirit, by the Spirit, whether it be of God or not. And this is one of the reasons, because of the absenteeism of that Spirit resting within the continuity of the life of the believer, this is how oft times we are led astray by every wind and doctrine that comes along. The doctrines are not always sound. They're not wholesome. They may have some elements of truth in them, but they're not absolute truth. But because it sounds good, because it tickles up the fancy of the believer, because it lends itself to what they want to hear, we like the presenter. We like the voice of the presenter. We like their ability to orate and pacificate and dialogue and give great dissertation. And so we become consumed. Some do. Not all of you, so don't get offended. Don't
right,
email
Bishop.
Me when I say that. But some do. And so therefore they can be lured away easily. It reminds me of what Paul says to the church at Galatia. He says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you no longer obey the truth? Here you've seen the truth of God in demonstration. You've seen God do supernatural things. You are an eyewitness to what God has done. So now, what is it? How is it, and who is it that has bewitched you? Who has used some type of shenanigans, has used some kind of influence to you to the extent it draws you away from absolute truth into just plain, simple truth because it sounds good. It sounds splendorous. It sounds wonderful. I've never heard it put that way, but there is no examination of it. So again, when you have revelation of the Word of God, you're not going to easily be duped. The Word of God says that if it were possible, even the very elect of God would be fooled. So you need to have discerning of spirit. You've got to know what you're dealing with and whom you're dealing with. This is why Paul also says to the body of Christ, you've got to know them that labor among you. Simply because people come in and say that they have giftings and talents and skills and abilities to want to work in the local church, you have to examine their credentials, as it were. You have to examine their mindset, their spirit, how they present it. You have to ask God to reveal the true heart and the true content of that person, because everybody that's coming into the church to work in the church is not always, hear me and hear me well, it's not always there to build up the church or to build up the body of Christ, but to sometimes cause confusion, sometimes to tear it down, sometimes to weaken the hands of those who are trying to build the vision that God has given leadership. It goes back to the time when the walls were being rebuilt by Ezra and Nehemiah, they hired professional counselors to come in and wanting to work with them side by side. But Nehemiah had the spirit of discernment. He realized that when these characters come, there were three of them that came, Tambal and Sambal, who came and they wanted to have a part in the work. But he says, no, you can't really have a part in this work, because he had determined through the discerning of spirit that this man was up to no good. So you've got to know who you have pledged your allegiance to, who you summon to you, who you allow to attach themselves to you to work in the vineyard, as it were, to work in your local assembly, or even to build your own personal life in God. You cannot hang out with everybody just because people come to church and carry a Bible and can quote scriptures from Genesis to Revelation does not necessarily mean that that individual still has the Spirit of God within them, or in fact they are a real child of God. Satan knows this word backwards and forwards. So the believer has to have revelational knowledge. The believer has to have a discerning of spirits again. Know who you're dealing with. Know their motive. Know their purpose. Know whether or not it's true and or false, whether it's good, whether it's evil. Now you have another sect of group of giftings. It's called the motivational gifts. Now the motivational gifts serve to reveal the personality of God. These gifts are practical in nature. They describe the inner motivations of the Christian servant. It's prophecy. Those with the motivational gift of prophecy are the seers. That's an Old Testament term, seers. The prophets of old had the ability to see into the distant future. And so they would call by many of the kings and those that received them and heard them, they classified them as being seers. Many times they would say to them, O seer, what seest thou? Tell me what you see. What's going to happen? What is God really up to? Bring me into an awareness of what God is going to do. Or eyes of the body. This is what seers are. They're the eyes of the body. They have insight, foresight, and act like watchdogs in the church. They warn of sin or reveal sin. They are usually very verbal and may sometimes come across as judgmental and impersonal. They are loyal to the truth over friendship, serious, and they are dedicated. A true seer, having these elements of characteristics, they're not concerned about telling the truth based upon who's going to receive it or who's going to reject it. They see it, they become aware that there is a need to say it, and they say it. They don't blink an eye. They're not concerned about who's going to like it, who's going to dislike it, who's going to fall out with them, who's going to take them out to dinner after church is over, or to play a round of golf with them. They're not concerned about any of that. Their dedication is to telling the truth. And let's face it, many times people reject the truth because they want it to be sugar-coated. Can you say it this way? Can you say it that way? Don't tell me I told a lie. It's kind of harsh. Just tell me, oh, you told a little white lie. You told a fib. No, a lie is a lie. A lie does not have colors. It ain't white. It ain't black. It's just a lie. And so the believer that has this gifting, again, sometimes can come off very harsh, very rash, very abrasive, and even sometimes judgmental. But a lie is a lie. Black is black. White is white. So you cannot, there is no gray areas when it comes to truth. Either it's truth or it's a lie. So, again, they're usually very, very verbal. They're just going to tell it just like, as the old folk used to say, T.I. is, just like it is. Now you have ministering or serving helps. We're still talking about, I hope I'm not losing anybody, but we're still talking about desiring spiritual gifts. But before you can desire anything, you have to know what's available. So that's why we're taking this long scenic route to enunciate and to share what these different sects or these different categories of giftings are, with these, so that you can better understand holistically what it is you desire and why you need to desire it. Ministry and self-helps. Those with the motivational gift of serving are the hands of the body. They are concerned with meeting needs. They are highly motivated. They're doers. They may tend to overcommit, but find joy in serving and meeting short-term goals. Teaching. Those with the motivational gift of teaching are the mind of the body. They realize their gift is foundational. They emphasize accuracy of words and love to study. They delight in research to validate truth. Now you have another one called giving. Those with the motivational gift of giving are the arms of the body. They truly enjoy reaching out and giving. They are excited by the prospect of blessing others. Why be a blessing if you can't be a blessing? They desire to give quietly. They don't make no great big to-do about it. They don't run up with their big check in their hand and want everybody to know how much they gave and when they gave it, and those that wasn't in attendance when they gave it, now they got to make sure that they get the information about how big, how large their gifting was. But the true giver, the born-again giver, the not the conceited one, not the one that's doing it for vainglory, but the one that is humbled by their giving, they enjoy doing it, and they don't do it to be seen of men. It's just that it's a gift that they have. They are excited by the prospect of blessing others. They desire to give quietly, in secret, but will also motivate others to give when they see that there is how blessed one can become by being a giver. They can also sometimes encourage others to give. Many times, and this is another gift from where I sit, that the average believer needs to really embrace and to really go after, desire this gift, desire the gift of being able to give. Because you're living in a society where the needs are great. The Word of God, Jesus Christ himself, declared, the poor you're going to have with you always. You're going to have different types of impoverished people. Sometimes it's not always money. Sometimes people need kindness. They need to be shown kindness. They need to be made aware that somebody loves them and can love them unconditionally. Sometimes people need to just have a listening ear, somebody they can vent to, somebody they can share their struggles, their woes, their trials, their tribulations with, whatever the vicissitudes may be. So when you're a giver, and have the spirit of giving, you can give people what they really need. Sometimes, again, it's not always about money. Sometimes it's about encouraging people, telling that brother, telling that sister, you can make it. Know it's rough. Know it's difficult. Know you're hitting it hard. Know that the baby's daddy has walked away from you and has not forward a check to help you to take care of the baby, to buy milk and pampers and clothing and to keep a roof over that child's head. So they need to know that God is on the side of the righteous. Give them words of consolation. Give them words of encouragement. A giver can do that. They can give it on a dime's notice. You can call them at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they have something to give you. You've called. You're down in Sorrow's Valley. Things are just hitting you from left to right, and you just don't know what to do about it. You feel like throwing in the towel. You feel like just walking away from everything and everybody, even God and the church. But now you're connected to somebody that has the heart of a giver, and they can tell you, I understand how you feel. Hold on a minute. Slow your roll. Don't be so quick to give up, because God has the answer. They can contribute into what you need. You need to be encouraged. You need to have your faith fortified, your strength renewed. Sometimes life can drag us through so many vicissitudes, so much stuff that sometimes we just feel dilapidated. That's a term my mother used to use. You feel drained. You feel like you have nothing left. But sometimes a giver can be like a spring of living fresh water to you. It can revive you, it can refresh you, it can rejuvenate you and cause you to, again, hope in God. Now, next you have the exhortation or the encouragement. Those with the motivational gift of encouragement are the mouth of the body. Like cheerleaders, they encourage other believers and are motivated by a desire to see people grow and mature in God. They are practical and positive, and they seek positive responses. That's another gift, in my opinion, that the body of Christ, every believer, needs to embrace that gift. You want some gifts? Here is my list. I've given you the other two. Now I'm giving you my third one. Learn to exhort others. Esteem others high above your own self. Give others accolades. Tell people how proud you are of them for the progress they're making in God. Stop expecting folks who've just come to church and haven't been in church but a good 6 weeks, and you've been there 60 years, and expect for them to be the way you are. Help them to grow. Help them to mature. Encourage them. We lack the ability. Oh, God, here I go now. I was trying to stay and behave myself today, but you know me by now, Evangelist Bernard. The problem that I oftentimes see that happens in many of our local assemblies is that we take this arrogant attitude. Some do. Take the arrogant attitude, well, I got mine, it's up to you to get yours. Well, that's not the spirit to have. If you have it and if you've obtained it, then you ought to be able to reach with someone else. That little child, that little one that's only been in the church for 6 weeks, 6 months, they don't have what you have. Share what you have. Encourage them to go after the things of God. Encourage them to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Show them through the Word of God how to be motivated by the Word of God, how to apply the Word of God. Share it with them. You got to be a cheerleader. Push them on. I'm so happy to see you in Sunday school. Come here, let me give you a hug. You're in the right place at the right time to receive just what you need from the Lord. You see them in Bible class. If they're not in Bible class, reach out to them. Bring them to Bible class. Don't just bring them when you got some special function going on in the church, but bring them to the primary essential elements of the church to build their foundation. Not to swell the program, not to swell the pews, but to encourage them so that they can move forward in the things of God. They can mature in the things of God. It's part of discipleship. And I haven't really gotten into discipleship, but that's a part of it. So again, now you have administrative leadership. Those with the motivational gift of leadership are the head of the body. They have the ability to see the overall picture and set long-term goals. They are good organizers and find efficient ways to getting the work done. Although they may not seek leadership, they don't always seek it. They're not circulating and percolating and in jockeying for position. They just have the gift of administration. That's a gift of leadership, but they don't necessarily have to be in leadership. Don't have to give them a title. Don't have to give them a room with a view, an office with a view. They just want to do. They want to lend their talent, their skill, and this grace gifting to the body of Christ. They will assume it when no leader is available. They receive fulfillment when others come together to work a task. Then you have mercy. Those with the motivational gift of mercy are the heart of the body. They easily sense the joy or distress in other people and are sensitive to feelings and needs. They are attracted to and patient with people in need, motivated by a desire to see people healed of hurts. They are truly meek in nature and avoid firmness. That's another gift, fourth on my list. If you're going to seek these gifts, if you're going to desire these gifts, out of all the ones that I've listed in the menu thus far, this is another one that you need to really have. And I'm going to conclude with what I'm trying to say. When you have received received mercy, when you've received grace, grace being something that you have not deserved, but God grants it to you, mercy is something you receive in the abstract of what you should have gotten. But mercy holds it back when God could have. For example, we see a demonstration of mercy that when Paul says that while we were yet in our sins, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't have to. He could have wiped us out. He could have just took the life out of us. But he effectuated mercy to us because he knew that if grace could reach us, then grace could conform us to his will. Grace is something that you do not deserve, but it distinguishes the fact to demonstrate God's loving kindheartedness extended toward an undeserved people. Nobody deserves the grace of God. And so when you have the recipient of the grace of God, it ought to humble you. It ought to fill your heart with gratitude and great appreciation. For here is a God that could have wiped you off the face of the earth, could have just whisk you away, just like you would just whisk a piece of fuzz or lint off of your clothes. But God, in his unconditional love, not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance, he allows grace to reach us, to redeem us from the curse of the law. Grace now becomes the thing that bridges us between the gap between God and man. Jesus Christ effectuates grace. He draws us. He says, I've drawn you by love. He draws us to him by love. And so just as we have received grace and mercy, we are obligated. Somebody say obligated. Because you're obligated as a child of God to be graced, to be graceful to others. You have been given mercy so that you can be merciful unto others. You cannot sit back and say, oh, woe is them and woe is that and they should this and they should that. No. You have an obligation. You have an obligation. I can't say it enough. You have an obligation to be merciful unto others. Just as you have received it, others also need to receive it. So again, in the definition of what the gift of mercy is, it's they easily have a sense of the joy or distress in others. They can sense it. They can see when others are happy. Be happy when people are happy. And then when people are in distress, let your heart be tender toward them. Don't look at it and feel like, well, that ain't none of me and it's their problem. No, it is your problem. The question was asked, am I my brother's keeper? Certainly you are. Now we're talking about in the body of Christ. And so I want to get into a few little scriptures to deal with that so that we can clearly understand because, for example, in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 4, but I want to kind of back it up there a little bit to verse 3 because it's very key. Paul is talking to the Roman citizens and the converts there in Rome who have become Christians. He lays it out for them quite clearly. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has given every man a measure of faith. So now you have to utilize your faith. You have to utilize what God has given you. You have to maximize it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It goes on in verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Everybody can't be a leader. Everybody cannot be in charge of something. Everybody does not have certain graced giftings. Let me back it up for you for a second here and have every one of the listening audience to fully understand. These giftings come through the graces of God. not just his grace extends broader than the human mind can comprehend. I think I've told this listening audience once before that typically when you hear of grace, you hear it as being or described as God's redemptive act at Christ's expense. But when you get into the Pauline epistles, when you read the 13 letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches there in Asia Minor, he laid it out. He was an apostle. He went about planting and establishing churches. He trained, he equipped, and he qualified pastors to sit over the people of God, to be the under shepherd, to lead them, to guide them. He taught them. He tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, stir up the gifts that are within you. It reminds me of a message I preached many years ago, Evangelist Bernard, shake well before using. So just to give you a little tad bit of that, I use some illustrations about how you can have liquid products. It can be a can of furniture polish. It can be some waxes. It can be anything. It can even be liquid medications, Pepto-Bismol, you name it. It can be anything. There are all kinds of ingredients that have been deposited within that container. But it's very clearly described in the directions for the use. Shake it well, so that all things become blended, because things have a tendency to settle and they settle at the bottom. So if you just take it off the top, you're not going to get the full effect of what's really in the container. So it's like if you use a sprayer, and sometimes if you don't really shake it up very vigorously, you're only going to get a little spew. And so it's going to kind of dribble out. It's going to drop all over the place. But if you shake it very vigorously and you hold the little nozzle down and press it with some force, then it's going to spew out. It will cover a much larger area. So many times, in order for God to maximize us with what he has deposited within us, he has to shake us, because sometimes we've allowed these giftings and talents and skills to lie dormant. So when Paul tells Timothy, stir it up, stir up the gifts that lie within you. So some of you today that are under the sound of my voice, you have gifting, talents, and skills and abilities that God has graced you with. Your primary problem with it is you're afraid to use it because you fear what men will say. You fear if they're going to receive you or reject you. You fear that you're not going to be accepted by the mass majority. Don't let that be your concern. You have an obligation as members in the body of Christ to serve the body of Christ with your gifts, talents, and skills and ability that God has birthed within you. So in order to produce them, you got to be shaken sometimes. You got to be shaken very vigorously. So let me hurry on here. So in verse 4 it says, for we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Now what Paul is doing here in actuality, he's equating the physical body with the spiritual body, the body of Christ. If you look at your feet are different than your hands. Your hands are different than your knees. Your knees are different than your hips. Your hips is different than your upper torso or your lower torso. Your head is entirely differently constructed and has a purpose. Everything in the body of Christ has a purpose. You need to find out what your purpose is. You have to find out what your gifting, talents, and skills and abilities are through the graces of God, what God has graced you with. How do we do this? You have to now begin to, as the old saints used to say, lay prostrate before God, turn the plate over, fast, seek the face of God, call upon him while he is yet near, call upon his holy name, asking God to show you what he wants you to be, how you can best be utilized in the body of Christ. Don't envy what you see others have. That may not be your gift. Don't minimize your gift and compare it to others. Don't do like the Israelites did when they went over to spy out the land, came back with an evil report and saying that the land surely is flowing with milk and honey, just as God said, but also there are giants in the land. And so they made the comparison, but compared to them, we are like grasshoppers. You're not a grasshopper. You have a vital entity in the body of Christ. seek it, find it, determine what it is that God would have you to do. How can you be a blessing to the body of Christ? Everybody's not going to preach. Everybody's not going to pastor. Everybody's not going to be an apostle, an evangelist. Everybody's not going to be a bishop. Everybody's not going to be any of these ecclesiastical, presbyterial offices and entitlements that some people are just going after because they just want to be them. You have to have the heart. You have to have the passion. You have to have the unconditional love of God that you're able to be effective in the body of Christ. You can't do this for your own vain glory. You can't do it to be seen of men. You don't give to be seen of men, because when you do it, you've got your reward already. Do it because God has placed it in your heart. Give. Do what God has required of you. Give earnestly. You don't have to broadcast what you've given. Just because God has blessed you to take somebody shopping, you don't have to get up and brag about what you've done. Many times, and again, I'm going to get in trouble, many times I've looked at other Facebook postings by other individuals, and they have to give the full testimony of what God placed on their heart to do for someone else. Well, that's not your testimony. The one that's been the recipient of what you've done, directed by God, that's the one that needs to give the testimony. You need to be quiet. You need to get somewhere and sit down, as the old folk used to say, and stop trying to let everybody know how good you've been to someone else. Because whatever you do in secret, it shall be revealed publicly. So you can give someone, you can take them to the grocery store, and you don't have to get up in testimony service and talk about, oh, God's been good to me this week. Can I just talk about it like I really feel it, evangelist?
Oh, hey, Bishop, it's
no, don't get up in testimony service and, you know, oh, I want to praise and thank God because the Lord blessed me the other week. I had an extra $200 and the Lord placed so-and-so on my heart, and I went by there and I bought them groceries for $100, and I went and I had the gas turned back on for $75, and then the other $25 I took them and we went out to dinner. No. No, you've gotten your reward already. Because everybody done said amen, everybody done clapped at you, you've gotten your reward. But if you really want the kingdom of God to bless you, bless people and don't have to say a word about it. Because now the testimony comes from the individual. When they get a chance, they say that somebody, God put on somebody's heart to bless me with $200. And out of that $200, I bought $100 worth of groceries, paid a $75 light bill, and then I had $25 to go out to dinner with one of the kids or both of my children, whatever the case may have been. So, again, when you desire, I feel my pot boiling now. I was trying to behave myself, but let me jump back into scripture for a second. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, everybody can't do the same thing. If you can't sing, join Ursha Board. If you can't stand up and walk people down the aisle with a proper attitude, then get somewhere in the kitchen, fry some chicken, or serve some other capacity. So we have been many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one to another. You are connected. You're connected to another member in the body of Christ. Just like your fingers are connected to your hand is connected to your wrist is connected to the elbow, there is a connection. So don't feel that you're any less than. Rejoice in the fact you're connected to the body of Christ. And Paul goes on in another passage to say that God has determined where you best fit in at. Don't you try to fit
Bishop,
in.
Oh, Bishop, you teach
you
me
let God fit you in there. Oh, it looks good to want to be the pastor. It looks good to for everybody, oh, the pastor this, the pastor that. You're not a pastor. Hey, serve the pastor if that's your gift. Okay, don't begrudge other giftings that you see other people have. Many times, that's why you have all these people out here who desire to be things that God has not called them to be. Paul cautions, Paul admonishes, Paul gives correction. Make your calling and your election sure in Christ. Don't ask other people what they think you ought to be. Ask God. Because God is your creator, and God is the one that's going to establish you in the body of Christ for his glory and not for your own. He's going to place you, deposit you, fit you in where you best can operate. The knee bone cannot be transplanted into the elbow. It is not function for that purpose. So find your place. find your place. So the text goes on to say, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, what Paul is saying when he talks about this, you need to understand that he's saying that associate with humbleness and godly people, going through life with as little shown and parade as possible. Don't make no big spectacular of yourself about your gifting and your talents and your skills. If anything, once again, I cannot get away from this because I'm tired of the pride and the arrogance that I see running rampant in the body of Christ. Everybody's thinking that they're bigger and better than someone else. But if it were not for the grace of God, you would not be where you are. Don't forget that God took you out of the gutter. God took you out of the nightclub. God took you from wherever he snatched you from. He snatched you as a brand from the burning. Did you forget that? Did you forget that God snatched you off the barroom floor? You were laying somewhere in a gutter, as it were, drugged up, doped up, out of your mind. But God saved you. God redeemed you from the curse of the law. And then God has established you in the body of Christ. And now you want to walk around with such arrogance. You want to stretch your stuff like the ABC peacock. How dare you, sir? How dare you, ma'am? Even how dare me, Bishop? How dare me do that? You cannot look down on someone else and forget where God has brought you from.
Come on,
there
Bishop.
Needs to be
Hallelujah.
Humility established in the body of Christ. And God is trying to bring order back to his own body, because God would have me to release to tell you today, God says, I'm sick and tired of this arrogance, all of this conceit, all this pride, all this pumping up of oneself. You're parading yourself. You walk down the aisles as if you were King Tut. You're Queen of Sheba and all of it. It's one thing to have confidence in God, but it's another thing to have pride. Solomon says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a great fall.
Yes, God,
that God chose you to be an evangelist. God chose you to be his prophet. God chose you to be whatever you are in the body of Christ. It's a blessing for you to be a blessing. And God could have looked and used anybody else that he chose to use. So when you go before the people, whether it's individually or whether it's to a massive amount of people, show humility. I don't mean fake it. I mean, earnestly have humility as a part of your characteristics as a child of God, because everybody is not going to be able to do and to have the same thing. Paul goes on to say, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. It lends back to what you said earlier in your prayer, is that we are obligated to do good, and especially to them in the household of faith. As you have the opportunity, do good. As you have an opportunity, give a kind word to somebody. Give a word of edification and a word that exhorts people, a word that encourages people, a word that stimulates people to want to grow in the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So now, let me conclude by saying it like I really feel it. If you really want all of these, having these desires, let your desires be godly. For every right desire, there's a blessing. Indeed it is, but you have to have godly desires. Why do you want to be gifted? So that people can talk about how anointed, how mightily used of God you are? Oh, that's the wrong reason for it. You have to desire to do and have these giftings through through the grace of God because you want to be a blessing to the body of Christ, not to be seen as the great I am, but seen doing the will of God. There are people who are hurting. There are broken people, broken relationships all around you. Dysfunctionalism is all around us. You have dysfunction in your family, and somebody's looking for a kind word. Somebody does not want to be looked upon and frowned upon and then made to feel that they are less than anybody else. Somebody needs that's down in sorrow's valley. They need a hand to be lifted up. So ask God to give you the spirit of giving so that you can reach down and you can pick up your brother and your sister. Let us stop. We're the only sect of people in the whole entire systematic society that we are the first ones, I'm talking about the Christian church, we bury our wounded. People who make mistakes, we're ready to throw you out the church. We're ready to throw you away. If somebody rubs you the wrong way, you're ready to disconnect from them. And I have a problem. Here I go again. I have this problem with everybody's talking about. Get rid of your haters and get rid of this. Where do you get this stuff from? You listen to a bunch of motivational speakers, and then you try to bring this stuff over into the Word of God, and it does not actually apply. Not one single solitary time. Do you ever hear Jesus complained about his haters? He didn't give glorification to his haters. He knew he was going to be hated. You're going to be hated without a cause. Folk just ain't going to like you just because of who you are and whose you are. Get used to that. But Jesus kept Judas. He knew from the onset when he even chose him, he also gave him the same opportunity as he did the other disciples, and that was to be saved. He knew that Judas was going to be the one that was going to betray him, but he did not walk around and tell the other disciples, you better watch Judas because Judas is out to get me, so y'all keep your eye on him. He didn't bother with that. He stayed focused on his mission, focused on his primary purpose in coming into the world. But yet here, the church says, oh, you got haters, so you got to get rid of your haters and send your haters invitations and tell them thank you. Hey, who's really got time for all that? That's just my own personal footnote here, okay? It gets to be vexing to my personal spirit when I see people always doing it. Why? Because, again, if everybody throws everybody away, if everybody kicks everybody to the curb, when is your time coming? When somebody's going to kick you to the curb, when somebody's going to osculate you, when somebody's going to throw you out into obscurity, someone is going to send you off into the wilderness. This is not the way it ought to be. Let me get back on track. I was just having a moment there. Praise God. But we all have got to come to the reality of knowing that these giftings are vitally important so that they become a blessing to the body of Christ. We have to strengthen one another. There have been times when I've had my weakest moments, and in my weakest moments, because God has blessed me to be an encourager, I get on Facebook 7 days a week trying to encourage somebody else, never tell you what's going on in my world. But many times, because I've tried to encourage someone else, I become encouraged myself. So if you're going to desire good gifts, if you really want something that's really going to be effective, something that's going to be a blessing to the body of Christ, then desire the best gifts. Desire the gift of giving. Desire the gift to be able to speak a word of wisdom and knowledge into somebody's life. Let somebody know it's going to be okay. That regardless to what's going on in their life right now, keep reminding people that God is yet able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask, think, or even can imagine, according to the power that works within. Sometimes you have to remind people that God is still a way maker, that God has not abandoned them. Sometimes people are feeling alone, and so they need somebody to help keep them company. Let them know that God has not abandoned them, that God has not left them alone. Somebody needs to be encouraged today. Some child does not feel the love of a mother. Step in and show that child some unconditional love. That child has been raped and molested by some deranged, perverted infidel, some deranged, demonic, satanically embodied individual that raped and molested them. That child now feels insecure. They feel unloved. They feel dirty. They feel nasty. But let them know that God is able to fix them and straighten them up. Somebody is struggling today with all kinds of proclivities, all kinds of issues, all kinds of weights of the world is resting upon their shoulder. Let them know that the Lord is a burden bearer. Give somebody. You may not have $10 to give somebody. You may not have $100 to help somebody out with, but you still have something. You have the Word of God down in you. Give it to someone. Don't worry about whether they're going to receive it or not, because here is what happens. The Spirit of God will always lead you to the right person at the right time to give them just what they need. You stop feeling and taking that person. Don't do like Moses. Don't do like Moses when he first went down into the land of Egypt. And God had told him, you go down and you perform these three miracles, and because I've been sending you down there to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He gets there, and so he discovers when he does these first three miracles, and then Pharaoh summons his magicians to come, and they did the same identical thing. Now Moses comes back to God, and he's disdained, he's diswrought. He's in the place of the valley of despair. He's depressed. He's in sorrowful of heart. And so when God meets him on his journey back to him, he says, what's the problem? I'm paraphrasing. What's the problem, brother man? What's going on with you? Why you got your head hung down? Well, because first of all, they rejected me. God had to check him on the spot. That's what the young folks say these days. He checked him on the spot. It is not you they've rejected, Moses. They've rejected me and my word. So don't worry about rejection. Don't let rejection cause you to be crippled and handicapped in being able to give someone a word of instruction, a word of encouragement. Sometimes you can meet folk in the grocery store, in the laundromat, in the dry cleaners, while you're standing in line to pay your bill at your favorite Macy's or Sears or wherever you're shopping. You're waiting to pay your bill. Somebody. God will lead you to that person. Just pull them aside and say, it's going to be all right. And hang on in there. The world is in need of help today, and especially they're looking for the church to not be so critical of them and castigating them and kicking them to the curb and throwing them aside because of their sins, because of their degradation, because of their transgressions. All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the obligation is for the child of God to be sensitive to the needs of others. So in closing today, I feel it. But as you
yes,
seek,
hallelujah.
As you seek, Jesus. Seek for these gifts. Seek them for God's glory. Not for your own. Look around you. There are people all around you, people in the workplace, people in your own household, people that are your neighbors, people that you run into every now and again, even the people you sit with on your row in church. Somebody needs a word from the Lord. Did God fill your mouth with that word? If he did, then share it when it's appropriate. If you have, and then when it comes down to that, make sure your pastor's in agreement with you sharing that word. Follow protocol. Follow spiritual protocol. Don't just jump up and start talking to people because you can run into problems with that. But if you want a word of knowledge, that's a supernatural knowledge of facts and information that can only be revealed by God for the purpose of applying doctrinal truth. I think I posted just the other day, what purpose is it to carry a Bible, to have a Bible if you're not going to read it? What's the purpose of reading it if you're not going to apply it? The Word of God has to be accurately applied in your life. So when you accurately apply the Word of God in your life, you can live a richer, fuller, more meaningful life, and you can find your purpose in it. You can find out how you can be a helping hand to someone else. I can't say it enough. Too often times I constantly run into people who are going through all kinds of difficulties and sometimes not even knowing that I'm a man of God or a bishop or whatever anybody else calls me or any of my other professions are. Sometimes I'm just led to tell people what thus saith the Lord. That does people a world of good. And then sometimes people can see me having no clue to who I am. I don't boast about my professions and all of my entitlements. That's irrelevant to me. But sometimes in my lowest state, I was not too long ago, I was out and about, and someone came to me and said, young man, so you seem to be kind of, and I don't know why they call me young, as gray-haired and as old as I am, but I thank God for that. And he said, let me tell you something, son. He said, you're going to make it. It's going to be all right. And tears flooded my eyes. I began to weep like a little child, because it was something that I needed, it was something that I was personally going through with. And God will send people. That's called the spirit of discernment. Let us ask God to give us the spirit of discernment so we can see the needs of others and then be able to minister to those needs, be able to let somebody know, be able to call Evangelist Bernard sometimes when you sense in the spirit that she may be kind of going through a little something. She's not ready to tell everybody what she's going through with, but call her sometimes and let her know that God is still able. God still sits on the throne, and he still rules, and he super rules, and give her the kind of encouragement she needs. Working in ministry full time, it's not as glamorous as people think it. Many times the sacrifices that she has to personally make, sometimes just to get up enough energy and to do all of this, to present to you this word that she does daily in her radio blog. Encourage her heart sometimes. Let her know that you're blessed by it. Don't just sit there and you gobble up all this good stuff that comes every day to you. Feed it back to her sometimes. Let her know how much you appreciate her. Let Evangelist Ruby Laurie know how much you appreciate them. And in fact, I'm going to say I appreciate the both of you and all that you do and all that you have afforded me an opportunity to be able to do. So in closing, I'm cutting it short today, but in closing, let me bring the summation. Let me bring it home, as the preachers would say oftentimes. Let me bring this thing home, because God has led me a different way. So just bear with me and let me just minister to the needs of the people as the Lord gives me leading, because I see people. I see people in through the ether waves. I see people who a mother has been crying, and you've been crying for the past 7 days, and you're troubled in your spirit because your child is in trouble, and you don't know how things are going to come out. Your child is incarcerated, and the lawyers are asking you for money that you don't have to get your child out. But I've come to tell you today, by release of the Spirit of God, your child is coming home. God says your child is coming home. By this time next week, they're going to release the heart of the judge that signs his release. It's going to be moved to sign it. You're not going to have to raise all this money that the lawyer is asking you for. I see that in the spirit to that individual. Your last name is Johnson, and I see you. Your last name is Johnson. What you're going through is for your making. It is not for your dismembering. It is not because God is angry with you or because God is dissatisfied with you. It's because you're getting ready to go into your next dimension in God. And so God is equipping you. So the challenge that is before you is not to destroy you, but it is to construct you. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I leave these airways today, I pray, God, that under the sound of my voice, that those that seek you, help them to seek you while you may be found. Call upon you while you're yet near. God, I pray in the precious name of Jesus that, God, you would look out among us, God, and things that you see within us that are displeasing in your sight. We pray, God, that you would point them out to us, that we can individually and collectively rectify our wrongs, so that, God, we can be instruments that are used and meet for the Master's use. Help us, God, to become everything that you have designed and created us to be. Help us to get rid of the pride and the arrogance. Help us, God, to stop being so self-exalted, so self-conceited, and thinking that we are more than anyone else. God, bring us down, God, to a place of humility, a place, God, where we can humble ourselves before your mighty hand. I pray, God, in the precious name of Jesus, God, that you expose us to ourselves. That we can see our own deficiencies and can see our own little hidden sins and the skeletons that's in our closet, God, so that we can confess them before you, God, so that you can give us the strength, the tenacity, the fortitude, the drive, and the stamina to yet continue on. God, break us down. Bring us back, God, to where we first believed, God, and help us, God, to get rid of all this facade and all of this fake and phony appearance that we give to people, God. Break us down again. Do us, God. Take us back to the potter's wheel, God. Make us and mold us into what you would have us to be, not what society says we ought to be. Help us, God, to get to the place, God, that we are not conformed to this world, but we become transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help us to think kingdom-mindedly. Help us to think, God, according to your will and your way. Help us to operate in the place of obedience, God. We're so out of order, God. We want to do things our way and then expect for you to bless us, God. We're out of order when we do that, but help us to walk humbly with our God. Bring us, God, into a place of obedience, God, where we can observe to do all that you've commanded us to do. You said in your word that if we would walk upright before you, there's no good thing you would hold from us. God, it's your desire, God, to give us the keys of the kingdom. It's your desire, God, to bless your people everywhere. So, God, I pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, God, help us, God, to come to the place where we recognize who we are and what we are and what we have been, and bring us to the place, God, that we can be renewed in our minds to understand, God, it's by your grace that we've come this far, and it's going to be grace that's going to lead us on. We thank you now for being merciful unto us, God. The thoughts that we have thought, God, have not been to your liking. We've done things and gone places. Our hands have handled things, God, that you did not tell us to handle. We did them out of lust, out of our own desires, God, but help us, God, to have right desires, God. Help us, God, to desire the things that are pleasing to you. Help us, God, to push away those things, God, that keep us trapped and keep us in bondage where we cannot progress in the things of you. Help us, God, to come to ourselves, God. Help us to understand that time has been, will be no longer. Help us, God, to recognize that the time that yet remains is precious to us. It's precious to you. Help us to be good stewards over the things that you have given into our care, the gifts, the talents, and the skills that you have endowed your people with, God. Help us to be good stewards over those things. Help us to handle them in a proper way, that you be glorified, that Satan can be horrified, but your people in the body of Christ can be edify. Help us now, God, to reach our maximum potential in you, God. Help us, God. Don't be angry with us, God. Don't allow your justice and your mercy and your punishment and your wrath to come against us. But thank you for mercy, God, that you've held us and you've kept us. Thank you for your grace that gives us favor, God, favor, things, blessings that we don't even deserve. Help us now, God, to realize who we are in you and who you are in us. Help us to abide in you as you abide in us. So, God, in the name of Jesus, if there's someone out there, God, in these ether ways that's listening to this program that does not know you in the power of their sins, nor in the power of your resurrection, God, let them call into the station now, God. Call into this radio program, God, now, and give their lives unto you. For, God, it's not your will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. I'm sure, God, has got counselors and those that are waiting, God, to receive them and to be able, God, to lead them into your dear kingdom. God, we need you. We need you in a time like this, God. We need you as never before. God, if you would withdraw yourself from us, Lord, whither shall we go? For you are our hiding place. We can run to the hills. We can look to the hills from which cometh our help. You are our hiding place.
Yes,
help us now. Help us one and all, God, that we can be meat for the master's use. We are the salt of the earth. We are to preserve your word in the heart of the earth, God. We are light that set on a hill that cannot be hid. God, let our light shine bright, no matter where we are, in the workplace, in the community, in the schools, in the church house, in the outhouse, in the White House, whatever house we're in, God. You help us, God, to let this light shine forth. And Satan, I bind you now on the spirit of perversion and all that you're doing among the young people, the spirit of murder that runs rampant through the land. I cancel your assignment right now, for the blood of Jesus is against you. Now, God, we thank you for all that you do for us. We praise you. We magnify you. And, God, I promise you, we're going to do better. We're going to do better. Thank you, God, for sparing our lives. You could have long ago have done away with us, but you've been better to us than we have been to ourselves. Through many dangers, toil, and snares, we've already come. Your grace has brought us safe thus far, and we have the consolation of knowing your grace is going to lead us on. So now, God, open up our minds and our hearts, God, to be receptive to thy correction, to thy word, to thy will, and thy way. For this we do humbly ask in the precious name of Jesus, believing that it shall be done. And we serve as kept to give thy name the praise. And the people of God everywhere said amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Hey, glory, God. Oh,
God bless
God,
you.
Thank you. You can't pay for a message like this. Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.
Bishop, thank you, Bishop. We thank you for sacrificing your time to come on and minister the word for us. Hallelujah. Sometimes you try to keep your composure, hallelujah, but that word.
Sometimes it's hard. It's hard. It's hard, especially with the way I feel right now. It's hard for me to do that, but I'm going to behave, as they say. I'm going to do my best to behave. But God is just so good. God has been
hallelujah.
Better to us than we have been to ourselves.
Thank you, Jesus.
But
thank
God bless you.
Bishop,
and again, I thank you for this time. I thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Glory.
You know
to
that
God.
Bishop loves you. I love you with all of my heart.
Thank
I thank you.
You
for this time that you give. You could have chosen anybody else in the world, and you bring on a little somebody like me to come, and I'm grateful for that opportunity. God knows
hallelujah.
I love you, and anything in the world that I can do to help you, you know where I'm at. God
amen.
Bless you, and I'm going
amen.
To bid all of you a good evening.
Thank you, Jesus.
Walk
hallelujah.
With the Lord and walk in harmony with him.
Yeah, thank you,
and so
Jesus.
Shall your lives be blessed.
Ah,
until we meet again, God
thank
bless you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Goodbye, daughter.
Yeah. Hallelujah, Bishop. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for each and every one of you all today. Thank you for those that are in the chat room, Liberal Democrat. Hallelujah. God's remnant, girl talk and giggles. We thank God for Sister Cynthia Lundy. Amen, amen. Chatting with us today on Facebook and on the internet. We just bless the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, as Bishop was going forth, and, I mean, this was, oh, God, awesome, awesome, awesome. As I look, I took out this log sheet. We keep a log, and that's for the purpose of those that come on and minister the word of God and those that tune in and listen. Sometimes they want to know what date a particular segment aired and the speaker. So we have the speakers. We have the dates. And the time that it aired, it's all on a log. And just looking at this log now, we're in week 92. And today is our 567th episode. And I'm just in awe. I'm just in awe because it was no doing of mine. As Bishop said, there's many times I just feel like just calling Sister Ruby or somebody and say, go, could you go on? And, you know, even speaking, having the minister, sometimes I'm not feeling it in my spirit. And to just look back, to look back 21 months, and we've been on this, God have blessed us to come on this Blog Talk Radio. We're on 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And then on Sunday, I think in September last year, we start coming on for 30 minutes of prayer on Sunday. And in November, my girlfriend and minister and her husband took over the Saturday segment. So 7 days a week, the word is being preached. The word is being taught. So you know what? The Bible say you're inexcusable, O man, whomsoever ye shall be. Hallelujah. And we're not on here to win a popularity contest. We're not on here begging for funds. God has provided every month for us to meet the obligation to come on this broadcast and minister a word that would encourage, that would inspire, that would enhance and empower somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as Bishop said, somebody need a word of encouragement. When you're down and out, you don't want to go to church. Hallelujah. For somebody to be mean and nasty and say something out of character to you. You're going because you need some strength. You're going because you need some direction. You need some guidance. You need a lift. You don't know who's on the edge. You don't know who's thinking about ending it. In the church, sitting in the church building, in an edifice that God has sanctified and set aside for his purpose and his use. He said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. Hallelujah. But when we can't get any help in the house of prayer, in God's house, where are we to look for help? Where are we to look for encouragement? Where are we to look for a word that would tell us to hang on in there? You can make it, sister. You can make it, brother. Oh, God, I bless the day. I bless the Lord for this word. Spiritual gifts. Desiring spiritual gifts. If we would all get that gift, that would enhance and that would perfect and edify the body, one another, not just for your family, not just for your friends, not just for your neighbors, but God loves us all. Bishop said he would, that none would perish. Oh, I bless the Lord today for this word. I thank him. Bishop is a busy man. He has a church. He has constituents. He has saints that he is shepherding. He have a wife. He have children and grandchildren. But to make the sacrifice to come on this line and to minister to God's people, not for no money, not for no popularity, not for no fame, not to be elevated in somebody else's eye. Oh, it takes something to serve God, people of God. It takes something to make a sacrifice. Hallelujah. I get into it sometime with my mom. She'd say, well, that's all you think about. Is that ready? Well, God put this in my heart to do. He put it in my heart to do it. And when he take it out of my heart, he going to lead me to another place. But guess what? Whatever place he lead me to, it's going to be something that would edify the body. It will be ministry. It will be pertaining to kingdom building. It will be to witness and to encourage souls. That's what God is about. He's interested in souls. Souls. Souls are dying every day. Hallelujah. And all we're thinking about is, where are we going to find the next pair of pretty shoes, the next designer handbag, the next hairstyle? Well, you know what? I don't even care about hairstyling anymore. I'm all 59 years old. I take it and put some. I thank God I got a decent grade of hair. I can take the brush and put some water on it and slick it on back. Throw one of these buns on and I'm gone. But when I was younger, I was into all that thing. But as you mature, you begin to reposition and you begin to reprioritize what is vital, what is important. Nothing is more important than my soul. Not the houses, not the cars, not the cars. None of that is important to me anymore. All I want to do is please God. All I want to do is live for him. Some people say, that's crazy. You have to have a life. Well, I have a life. I do have a life. And guess what? I've given my life to God. I go out and eat and go to the movies and do some things, you know, that this flesh enjoy. Hallelujah. But nothing gives me satisfaction. Nothing gives me more pleasure than to be able to speak a word of life to somebody. Oh, glory to God. Woo! This was heavy today. I'm going to open up the lines. Hallelujah. I see Prophet Carlos on the line. Hallelujah. Some of the callers have fallen off. I'm going to go to Prophet Carlos, then the Liberal Democrat, and then we're going to open up the lines if you all want. Bishop is gone. Bishop, come and give us his time, and then he gone on. He may have a Bible study or something he has to teach, but friend him on Facebook if you need to counsel with him or talk with him. You certainly can do that. I certainly will ask his permission. If any of you all need to personally talk with him, I'll do that. Amen, amen. Prophet Carlos, God bless you. Thank God for this man of God also. Hallelujah.
God bless you, woman of God. We give God praise, amen, and to the bishop that gave us such a profound word. We give God glory for it. We have to be encouraged, even in this season of a lot of things that are transpiring. I was sitting here at my home yesterday and got an unexpected phone call that somebody that was in their late 40s, had to be early 50s, late 50s, had passed on yesterday. I used to talk to the guy all the time in the previous city that I stayed in, just stayed right down the road, and passed away yesterday with a massive heart attack.
Mm.
People of God, you know, I think about this so much, you know. As a young person, we never know when our last day on earth is going to be. We never know what's going to transpire.
Mm-hmm.
We never know what would be the last time you would see a person. That's why it behooves us to be really ready, you know, do our soul searching, you know, going to repent to people, going to make it right. Even if you reach out to them and they don't reach back at you, you have done your part to make it right. Amen. We can shout, we can scream and holler all day long, but it comes a time where we as a body, we got to get some things together and really get some stuff in order. You often hear, I often hear people say, I'm trying to get it together. If we was really trying to get it together, y'all, we would really see the manifestation of God for real.
Woo!
So, y'all continue to pray my joy and strength in the Lord. God bless you.
My God, my God, my God. Lord Jesus, we never know. And we walk around with unforgiveness and bitter. And, you know, you never know when it's your last opportunity to even beg somebody pardon or forgive them. We don't know. Hallelujah. And the death angel is walking the land. Hiya no moshaya. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Prophet Carlos. We appreciate you. Liberal Democrat, thank God for you. Amen.
Amen.
There was going to Sister Cammie. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. I just enjoyed that message. The phone kept going out. Amen. As I was listening, it would go out for about 5 seconds and come back in. But, amen, I, you know, we still got to hear the word, amen to God. So When the devil said no, God said yes anyway. I got to hear that word, and
yes.
God bless the man of God, you know, amen, about the gifts, amen, of God, because it's going to take them gifts to get through some of the stuff we're going through, because we can't get through it without that power, amen. So I'm listening to that, amen, of God. I protect my anointing, amen. I protect that gift because, you know, folk will be tempting you to let it go sometime, but, amen, we know we can't fight that devil without these gifts and whatnot. So praise God for him confirming that in the word today. God bless. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, this was an awesome word. This is one of these I call classic. If you didn't have the opportunity to hear the full message, we invite you to go on our website at www.newdestinyministries.com or Blog Talk Radio, and you can hear this message again in its entirety. Amen. I tell you, it was a word. It was a word.
Amen.
Sister T, and then Sister Cammy, then I see Sister Eileen, and I see Sister Albertine and Sister Dawn. We've had quite a few callers on. Some have dropped off, so we bless the Lord for those that have remained. Sister Cammy, God bless you.
Hey, praise God for the message. I thoroughly enjoyed it as well, and I agree. It was going in and out. I don't know why. I think it's been doing that for the last couple of days, but
wow.
I really do. I am one that follows Bishop Grant, and I'm a huge fan of his work, and I'm just so grateful for everything that he said and his the way he teaches his messages. So, again, if you can go on, and also I think he is on YouTube as well, because I know my friend follows him on that. So I really, really, really enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
Amen, amen. I don't know what's going on, because we were clearly able to hear everything, so I'm going to have to contact Block and see what's going on, because we didn't miss anything on this end with the reception of the of the word. We heard it clearly today, so I don't know, something they may be having some difficulty with Blog Talk, so we'll check on that. Amen, amen. Sister T, God bless you.
God Thank bless you, woman of God, and God bless all the people of God. I am truly happy to be on the line today. It was some things that he said that just went straight to my heart, and I just thank God for that word that came on. I mean, it just was so helpful to me. I thought about how God brought me off the street and how he lifted me up and the things that he's done for me. So he don't want me to turn back now when God is already blessing me. He blessed me. He blessed me to be a blessing. He blessed me to be out here to minister to his word, people. So I just ask you guys to continue to pray my strength to the Lord, that I be the daughter he called me to be. God is performing miracles. I hadn't heard from my son in a whole year. And today
wow.
is his birthday, and he called. And I just thank God for all that he's doing in my life right now. And I pray my strength in the Lord. And I love you, evangelist, and I love this ministry as well. God bless.
Amen. Amen, Sister T. Be encouraged. Keep on looking up. God ain't through with you yet. Amen. Sister Eileen, and I see Sister Albertine. Amen. Your lines are open if you'd like to.
Amen. Evangelist Bernard.
Hi, good afternoon.
Albertine? What happened?
Hello?
Miss Albertine? I don't know
yes,
what happened.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes,
can hear
I
me?
Can hear you now.
Okay, it keeps going in and out. But,
going in
point
and out?
To say that,
I
yeah,
heard you go
going,
out. We didn't hear
yeah.
Jesse, Bishop Grant. We were able to hear everything on this end. So we'll check on it. God bless you, Sister Albertine. How's it going?
Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I could hear you.
No, what I just wanted, my comment was just about the spiritual gifts and about the things he was saying was right on time. And I'm going to go back to the archives and really study. It just makes you think about the gifts that you do have and utilizing them. and nourishing and developing your gifts, and also just being, you know, on fire for God and just being a blessing into people's lives. No matter what the situation you're going through, you still have to know that God is in control and allow you to be led, you know, by the Spirit, and just keep God first. So it was a powerful message right on time, and I thank him.
Amen, amen.
It was truly a blessing.
Thank you. Amen, amen. We're going, I know Sister Eileen may be driving. Sister Eileen, God bless you. Okay. Sister Dawn? Sister Dawn? Okay, I don't know what's going on, but we got through this message. We heard it all. I hope Blog Talk, I hope that recording was able to be clear. We'll go back and...
Hello?
Sister Dawn?
Hello?
Yeah, God bless you.
Well, I'm on the phone right now talking to the pharmacist about my medication. I'm very...
Okay, well, God bless you.
Okay.
Amen. Sister Eileen? Okay, we're going to go back. Well, we thank God for each and every one of you all. Tomorrow, this was a short week, so I can't hardly believe that it's Friday already. So I want you all to continue to pray for Pastor Hamilton. I have not heard from him. So tomorrow is Provoke Friday. He's scheduled to come on. So just tune in tomorrow. We'll see what's going on with Pastor Hamilton. But keep him in your prayers. Amen. We're going to go to Liberal Democrat and ask him to dismiss us with a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen. Can y'all still hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Amen. My line again, it gets going in and out and stuff like that, but, you know, hallelujah anyhow.
I hear you clearly right now.
Amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Amen. Right now, Lord, we thank you right now, O God, praying, O God, that there be no backlash and no retaliation, O God, for the word. Amen. Cover the man of God. Amen. Cover his family. Cover, amen, of God. Amen. Pastor Hamilton as well. Amen. And then go in every home. Amen. And God, that's on this phone line right now. God, find them, O God. Wherever they at right now, O God, whatever need, amen, of God, whatever gift, amen, hallelujah, that's what's inside of them, O God. Let them, amen, of God, find that gift, O God. Hallelujah. Let them make you stronger like a muscle, God. We speak it in their life even now on this phone, O God. Hallelujah. Cover, amen, of God, the evangelist, O God, right now, God. Bless her right now. Bless her family, O God. Bless her children, O God. Amen. Bless her mantle, O God. Hallelujah. That she continues to protect it, O God. As she gives the word to us, O God. We thank you right now, God, that you bless each and every soul, God. We speak divine health in every life that's on this phone right now, God. In the name of Jesus right now, we claim it. We receive our healing, God. We receive, amen, our healing of our finances right now, God. We receive the healing of our bodies right now, O God.
Hallelujah.
And right now, we receive the word that came on today. God, in your name, oh God, not by power nor by might, oh God, but by your Spirit right now, God, we claim it, we receive it, in Jesus' name. And somebody said amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
And amen. We thank God for Sister Cynthia and all those that were in the chat room. We'll see you all on tomorrow. God bless you. We're going to close out with Dear God by Smokey Norville. Have a beautiful and glorious day.
Hallelujah. God bless.
God for Sister Ruby, amen.
Feels so good to make it this far. And I didn't think I could take it so long. There were days I wanted to quit. I said, surely this is it, but I held on. And I've watched as so-called friends turned and walked away. And it hurt so much, I didn't have words to say. But even when my day turns to night and nothing seems just right, Lord, I thank you for my life, for my life. So I thank you for my life. And I've watched you take my family from there to here. And when times were a little rough, God, I know you were near. Thank you, Jesus. And the moments I thought I'd fail, I was reminded of your nails. So I held on. And if I never live to see another day, there's nothing I would change or take away. I've had so many ups that they far outweigh my downs. Lord, I thank you for my life. For my life. Lord, I thank you for every victory in you I've seen. Lord, I know I almost went crazy. Yeah. Oh, but I'm still here. Oh, with my life. So. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for my life. It may not be all that I'd hoped for, and every dream has not yet been realized. But to see your face one day, God, it's all gonna be worth it. Yeah, yeah, Lord. So I thank you for, thank you for every mountain, every valley, God, everything that you brought me through. Thank you for, I know it was you, God. I just wanna take the time to say thank you, Jesus. Oh, my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for my life.
Last day. Love you, liberal Democrat. God bless you.